A system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
I thought it'd help, but piss on a spark plug.
Thanks for-
for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm your host, Rob Dew, sitting in for the last hour of the War Room. Thank you to Rex Jones for sitting in, the eldest son of Alex Jones. The oldest daughter is also, she's working next door, been doing production work for the last at least year and a half. She's been doing production work, figuring out how all the stuff works, because, you know, people think, oh, we're just sitting in front of a camera. There's a lot going on back here every day. We got a great crew running this. You know, what are we doing now? 7 hours a day. We're going to get back to 19 at some point. And so it's going to be, we're going to be rocking and rolling. But we're still rebuilding. We're in a rebuild where, what do you take? Two steps back, or one step back, take two steps forward. That's what we're in right now. I have one guest on today. I have some of the news. I've been looking at the news, but, you know, of course we saw more Knicks fans. They lose and they riot, they win and they riot. So they're just looking for a reason to riot, and it doesn't matter what it is. So at this point, you know, I kind of hope they lose the championship just because the karma they're building up. But let's move beyond that. We're going to get into some weather wars here. This is Undergotten. We're going to have Undergotten on as a guest. You might have seen his stuff on X. He makes some amazing maps where he's showing you the locations of giant radio radar stations and the way they pulse to change the course of weather. And we're going to get into what's going on in the United States. We're also going to talk, like last year, remember they had some geoengineering being done out in West Texas. And then in 4th of July, they came through and flooded. A lot of people died. I met a guy over the weekend. His daughter was one of the people who died. They were driving on a trip and it was nighttime and they came to a bridge and the bridge had washed out. Nobody could tell that it had washed out. They just went right over the edge into the river, which was by that time a torrent, and everybody got out but his daughter. And so this stuff has real consequences in what they're doing by playing God. So we've actually got his screen share up. Let's bring him up now. Undergotten. You can follow him on X at UNDERGOTTEN. How are you doing today, sir?
Pretty good, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. I've been looking at your videos for years, and or as long as you've been putting them out, you've been sending them to me. It's great to get you on. I love the lines and where they're all originating from. Because I know there's radar stations all over the country. You know, you see a dome, it's got a radar dish spinning around in it. But are these super radar domes? Like, what are you pointing out? And then maybe give us a quick geography lesson of where these are all located.
Well, so these lines are, I've just traced eight of these radar bases together because, let me see if I can find, a lot of these have this radar data that I'm downloading this from Iowa State University.
Okay.
And that's four different layers of radar I've got overlapping a satellite image.
Okay. So, yeah. And those are all the radar stations.
That's right. So yeah. this is, instead of doing the map here, I took a day and just drew a little X on every single radar, but
right.
You can see on the data, the radar data itself. I'm gonna go. There we go. You can see these. Let me see if I can move my talking head around.
Oh wow!
You can see
you're a video this, wizard. Like,
you can see the circular pattern here.
Right.
That's the actual radar data. And that's what each one of these little circles, that's a radar.
It's, and what are they measuring right there? What is that actually measuring?
So, well, that's the funny thing is the National Weather Service won't tell us.
Okay.
They give several different excuses ranging from birds to bugs or ground clutter. They claim that this is an artifact of when the radars are spinning down at night, which... I mean, if you know anything about radio at all, you could look at that and say, no, that's not what this is. You know, this is pulsing at different times.
And it
happens
see it
day
pulsing.
Or night.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not birds. It's not bugs. It's a perfect circle. What it actually is just electrical output. It's just more electricity coming
ions.
From that particular. Right. That's all. It's broadcasting more, while some of the ones that are smaller circles, like you see, you know, right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's not broadcasting
as
much electricity.
That's your local Odessa weather station is what that is.
Yeah. But these are all NEXRAD. These are all the same. There's nothing special, particularly special about. I lost my train of thought.
Well, let me ask you this, and then we'll get into your pattern recognition. How did you first start seeing this and going, okay, I'm seeing a pattern here. I got to start showing people this is what I think is going on. Like when did that, how did that process happen?
Well, so there's a guy you guys have had on, Dane Wigington.
Uh-huh.
He was on last year on Alex's show a couple times.
Yep. Geoengineering Watch.
Yep. And, if you've seen his documentary, The Dimming, there's a part in that documentary where he shows radar bases pulsing like we see here and pushing Hurricane Helen over, you know, so you can see the hurricane moving in one direction, the radars pulse up and the thing starts going off, you know, to the right. That blew my mind. I was like, how does he even have that data? Before that, I didn't realize you could just download this. You know, the only thing I knew about radar is what we see on the National Weather Service, which is actually, I have some of that on this map too. If you look right here, this kind of blue and green,
that's rain.
That's coming,
right?
Yeah.
Precipitation.
That's coming from the National Weather Service itself. That I download from NOAA. And that kind of extends a little bit further out into the map. So these ones that are the actual radar bases here, they stop right about there. So the NOAA one gives me a little bit more data a bit further out. But anyway,
and when this has nothing to do with chemtrails or anything, when people are talking about chemtrails, this is just like ground-based, like what HAARP is essentially, but not as big. It's like a bunch of baby mini HAARPs around the country.
Well, so HAARP is just one node in this network. HAARP's like a training facility. My nephew, actually, there's another HAARP, over here in Massachusetts. And while I don't have that radar data, my nephew works at that one. It's the whole station is just for weather control. He has he's just a maintenance man there, but he's got government clearance and whatnot, because that's the stated purpose of that one. It's in Millstone, Massachusetts.
And he admitted that to you? He said, yeah, we just controlling the weather with
this. It's public information.
Okay.
Just like HAARP, you know, that's what it's for.
HAARP, they say it's for over the horizon radar. They say it's to bounce radar off the ionosphere over to other people, so we can have, you know, because that's the problem with radar. It supposedly dies at the horizon, depending on where you are in the flat Earth spectrum. We're showing some HAARP images right now, at least I think looks like a bunch of geoengineering B-roll, because the systems, it seems to be the rains that come in and flood areas are happening more and more frequently. At least that's what it seems to me. And then, you know, we saw last year the hurricane that was steered up into Georgia, and then into what it went into South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, and just kind of made its way up and really, you know, destroyed a bunch of mountain, you know, little small hamlets that aren't used to stuff like this. They never see stuff like this. Yeah. And they got mudslides. They've got, you know, rivers that it just suddenly start swallowing homes. And, you know, we hadn't seen that much. That's for sure. I don't remember seeing that since I've been alive.
Mm. Yep. That's it's definitely gotten a lot different since COVID. I don't know what it's like for you in Texas, but over here, well, I mean, I kind of do actually. You know, it's a lot clearer skies for you than it is for us over here in Mass. Ever since COVID, they've been generating clouds from the ground, which is actually, you brought up that flood in Texas. It's something I try to point that out on this Warcast as well. They're constantly generating clouds.
Yeah. Let me ask you this real quick. Are you keeping copies of all this stuff and have a historical record that you can refer back to, or where does all your information go after you make these videos?
Oh, I've got it all on my machine still.
Okay.
All of it's downloaded. I got a script running constantly. I got a bunch of scripts running constantly downloading, you know, I have one that zooms into Texas and Mexico. That one usually is where I see a lot of the cloud generation.
You see crazy stuff come out of Mexico all the time.
Yeah. It's just like that flood that you were talking about. You could see it. And this is actually when Harrison started following me. I was watching that and I tagged him and said, look at this. And it's just, you can see it start from a central point and just a circle of cloud comes out. And that's not natural evaporation. It happens, you know, in the course of a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And usually on my Texas time lapse, that's usually happening at night when there's no sun. So where is all that cloud cover coming from?
Yeah.
You know, it's just exploding and it looks like a bomb going off. It just,
Do you think this is coming from the ground or you think it's coming from the sky?
It's definitely coming from the ground. There's a guy on YouTube who did a lot of videos about that specific topic, rapid evaporation. His YouTube channel is called Weather War 101. And he shows them repurposing power plants. And, you know, you've always seen the smokestacks from power plants and you can see clouds coming out of it. But sometimes, and I've seen one in Massachusetts do this, I've only seen it do it twice. Sometimes the clouds don't dissipate. And that's what we're seeing. You know, that's just one way. I assume, you know, they've got black sites all over the place that are doing it other ways, but especially all along the Gulf, I'll bet you anything that that's what it is. It's power plants that are just, you know,
and if people are like, well, how is this funded and stuff like that? If you could take billions of dollars, what they're doing now, and just giving it to people to fight fake autism all over the country and fake EBT card recipients and everything just seems to be fake. Fake right. hospice care. You know, you think of the billions of dollars going to this, fake Medicaid charges. They can easily come up. You think the CIA hasn't come up with a system yet, or the Department of War come up with a system that they could funnel money into, create a whole black site system that we would never know about. And it's just getting, they found, guys, see if you can find the article. I think it was like $4 trillion that just leaves the treasury and they don't know where they go. We don't know where it goes. We can't track it. I'm like, bull. You could totally, really? Yeah. Oh, but you could track, you could have the IRS call me about $89 in interest from my bank account. Like you could track that, but you can't track $4 trillion black hole that's just leaving the treasury. You know,
my $4 trillion. Whoops.
You know, there it is. $4.7 trillion. It's $4 trillion, 7 billion. Okay. That's, I mean, it's like, what? And Rick Scott introduced his bill to track treasury payments. And so that was March 27th of 2025. Probably nothing happened to that bill. But Rick Scott's also got some questionable stuff under his claim. I think people are always saying he bilked Medicare for some money. So it's interesting that he's doing that. But let's get back to the weather. So is this current data what we're looking at now, or is this older data? What are we looking at now?
This is my highlights reel. I started doing this in February of last year.
Okay.
So this is the oldest thing we're seeing is probably from March.
Yeah. And you've got the, sooner. You're showing the semicircle right there.
Everything locks into this grid. That's right. Well, we started talking about that, but these radar bases that I've got outlined, and that's what you can see. You know, this is in Hodgdon, Maine. This one's KCBW. They all have radio call signs.
Okay.
Because they're radios. The rad in radar. Wait for this grid to pop back up here.
You got
this is a black and white time lapse I keep.
Bismarck, North Dakota or something. That's where one of them's at, and then one of them's in Washington.
That one always has that Bismarck, North Dakota one has always got a beam shooting out of it.
Just that one right there up top. And then you got something that looks near Chicago or Wisconsin, Detroit over there in the
if you look at this, it kind of looks like a pentagram shape that it makes.
Oh yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, that's top probably so they get better control over your weather.
You know? You know, that's I pointed that one out to Harris. And go, let me pause this so we can look at it.
You got one in Florida. Looks like in the panhandle of Florida too.
Yeah. Well, that's Georgia actually. Oh, it's Georgia. That's Moody Air Force Base.
Okay.
And that one, getting turned around here. That one's usually, I catch that one pushing rain off of it very often.
Okay.
You know, those flyboys don't like to get rained on too much.
Okay. So we got Maine, we got here, Georgia. Then what's that one right above you?
That's in Grand Rapids. That's okay. KGRR.
Yeah.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then over by you right here is New Braunfels, Texas.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's right down the road.
All the radar. All doing the same.
When did New Braunfels come online? How long has that one been running?
Oh, I don't know. these are all, I think, from, I know they've added some, but most of these are from 89, I think, is when NexRad went online. But, I mean, I've seen videos, radar videos from the 80s where you can clearly see spirals around the radar while the guy's talking. But once you start looking for it, you're going to see it always. I think this has always been a dual purpose thing.
Yeah, you had one of your videos that I was looking at that showed the stair step going across the country. You know, it is literally stair, right angles coming down. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you remember what that one is, maybe we could play that video real quick and come back to it. Because I thought that would. Do you remember which one that one was? That 1, 2, or 3?
Just saw it a second ago. Let's see if it's there. It is. I've caught that a few times here. Yeah. Right after this.
There. Yeah.
Here it comes. It's like the sky is an oscilloscope, basically.
There it is. Yeah. Just the stair step.
Just doing a square wave, you know.
And I mean, that kind of defies what, you know, nature doesn't work. Nature doesn't work in right angles. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
That's a man-made
thing. That's a thing. Yeah. That's not radar either. That's a satellite image that we're seeing right there. You know, this purple here is the, that's the lower troposphere. Which this is all infrared right now at night. This is the GOES 19 color satellite shows you infrared at night. So you can actually see a lot more at night than during the day because you can actually figure out what altitude you're at. So here's all this purple staircase here is the lower troposphere. And then we've got white clouds and that's the upper troposphere.
Okay.
And then you've got stuff like this, the green, that's my radar.
Yeah.
There. And the blue here, that's all radar data overlapping.
So you're watching this, you're continually putting these videos out. I mean, what is your basic conclusion aside from their manipulating the weather? I mean, do you have any other insights into this or, I mean, aside from just chronicling it or what do you think is really going on? Is it on accident? It's like, in order to have radar, we have to just screw with the weather. It's just the way it is.
Well, if you listen to Dane Wigington's podcast, he does a weekly podcast on Sunday. And at the beginning of every podcast, he's got Lyndon Johnson doing this, this quote. I don't know if you've seen the Lyndon Johnson video.
He can control.
Yeah. He controls the world in his 1992 accent. I'd say that's the purpose right there. You know, I was talking to Harrison about that. Iran kept accusing Israel of blocking their rain, you know, as an attack measure. And that was the first thing they did.
They blew up
strike those radar bases.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. What, did you see anything on everywhere. Your, on your radar systems when you ever go look at that when it happened?
I only am focused on this
the United States
side of the world. Yeah. Just because I was, I mean, this is the only one where I have actual radar data that I can download.
Right.
And then this grid thing is just, I'm just trying to maintain always looking at that so I can basically prove, you know, with repeated weekly evidence that this is constantly going on. It's not like sometimes they push a hurricane. No, every hurricane, every tornado, every every piece of weather happening, it's being controlled by us.
Every piece of weather happening. That's amazing. Here's an article. He who controls the weather controls the world. CIA accused of poisoning the sky in 1960s report. Yeah, and you know, now that you guys can find, there's a patent for, you know, putting graphene oxide and nanoparticles in the atmosphere. You know, how you would disperse that stuff. In fact, you know, when we come back from break, we'll play the old Brennan clip talking about geoengineering. He's at one of these think tanks, and he's like, you know, this is aerosol injection. This is a thing we've been looking at. We think this is a great way to, we're not going to do anything nefarious with it. Don't worry. You know, I just let all the 9/11 hijackers into the country, you know, but don't worry about that. We have your best interests in mind. So it's pretty nutty. What's going on currently right now in our weather system? What should we be looking at? We just had a lot of rain in Texas and it all went east and kind of screwed up travel, but, for people. But
I thought I just saw something about it. It's snowing over in Yellowstone right now.
Yep. July snowstorm. They had it. I know a lot of the ski resorts in California were staying open later because they finally started getting snow where they weren't through most of the year. Now it seems like May and June were some of their best months of getting snow this past year.
Hmm. Yeah, I think they're doing it up in New Hampshire too, on the, you know, to, probably cheaper than the snow machines, but I mean, if you ask me, it's the real reason they do this is because of the control it gives them over markets. You know, like they know when natural gas is going to be spiking. They know when oil is going to be spiking, when those heating bills all turn on. You know, they know orange futures and whatever, if there's going to be a bad crop, because they're going to make that frost happen. You know, they can manipulate every market you can think of.
So it's just a system on top of a trading desk, essentially. It's like a dashboard. You know, they're getting this information. We're like, oh, we got frost here, an early frost. We've got a hurricane coming up. Let's just launch this hurricane up to New Jersey. We had that superstorm. Yeah. What was it? Superstorm Sandy, I think, in 2012, which was like something that, you know, people were getting flooded out in their basements in New York and New Jersey. And that was just, it was kind of it's a freak thing. Last year, they tried to blame it on a tropical storm meeting a weather system coming from the north that just stalled over Texas. But you also had a guy admitting he was doing geoengineering in West Texas 2 days before all the rain started happening. And
he didn't have anything to do with that, though.
Well, you never know.
It was a massive cloud on that satellite. That wasn't from Dory. Dorico or whatever that kid's name is.
Yeah, Augustus Dorico. I don't think it was either, but it was just interesting and coincidental that he's doing that. And I think if anything, he would be a fall guy because his stuff is going through drones. It's not like giant loads of stuff. You know, he said he's got, you know, millions or billions of particles, but it's in a drone. It doesn't have a giant payload like a jet you see, you know, dropping clouds out. So,
this is a $1 trillion industry right here. You know,
right there, there's your right angles again right there. Look at that.
Yeah,
there it is. All right, we're gonna come back from break, get into this a little more, and see where it's gonna take us, because you know, like I said, he who controls the weather controls the world. We'll be right back on the War Room Live.
Have the very best, strongest methylene blue from a medical grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me wherever the highest rated is. So they spent like 6 months. I said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week. Because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. I'm like, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today, okay? And I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff at the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off, and I turned red. Not like hives, like I was. It was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. Tan good, a little bit Native American, the benefits of that. But I was like even redder, and I was like, what is this? And I'm like, electricity. I go, oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good. And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, this is kind of scary. And about an hour into it, I go, I hope this stops because it was getting too good. That happened to Derek. He took it and said, I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid. So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, he went to wellness clinics all over the state. He's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, and by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade. And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. But I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. Get the best. I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone, literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something? I was like, no. And he goes, well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20, and man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing. And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, it's methylene blue. He's a former Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it at first. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay? That's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious. Okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town because that's how strong this is. Okay? That's what this does. And we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke. Okay? I don't sell crap.
Weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Stop. Now boogie to the.
Wow. Significantly larger proportions of retired people and older people relative to working age citizens. Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. on the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI and other geoengineering initiatives. Now, I could go on.
That's your former loving CIA dictator, or I'm sorry, director. I said it again. John Brennan, big fan of geoengineering. That was at the Council of Foreign Relations. So that's just a group of people who want to control the world and control its resources and depopulate. That's basically what their goal is. And how does that relate to what we're talking about now? It's just one more sort of building block. You know, you have chemtrails is one thing. That's laying out the material for the clouds to grab to create more clouds that they think is going to reflect more sunlight, or just putting reflective particles in the atmosphere that then, you know, kind of grab, you know, they get water moisture around them and they become clouds, but basically reflect the sunlight back up. That's what they want to do because they're doing it under this auspices of fake global warming. Well, now you can find articles that they're like, oh man, we're cooling the planet. So he's talking about a $10 million plan a year to do that. If you think that that's all they're doing, well, we're showing you actual radar data overlaid with radar maps and an infrared from Undergotten. And just to go into all that, it's crazy stuff. And I want to get back into it, but I just want to tell you real quick, I'm only doing an hour, so I got to make sure I get at least one plug in, because that's the only way we are able to fund ourselves here is when you go to thealexjonesstore.com and you purchase some of the products. We're not making you do it. We're not forcing you to do it. We don't make you get a subscription. And it's all voluntary. You know, you like the value we give you, you go, oh, I want to get some of these amazing supplements like Ultimate Life Force. Which is this bottle here. It's a big old bottle of kind of yellow looking pills. That's the turmeric in it in these capsules. So you can see they're nice and big. If you want to get a shot of that in my hand, you can see how big these are right there. And it's got turmeric. It's got NAC. I know you're like, oh, I hope nobody takes those after Rob put them in his hand. But people probably still will take them. But it's got NAC, it's got N-acetylcysteine, which is NAC, natokinase, turmeric, black pepper extract, and bromelain and selenium. So people are having things like long COVID, or they're getting COVID again. NAC helps your body make glutathione, and that helps you clean out your glutathione. Basically, is a detoxifier. Bromelain weakens the spike protein. Natokinase dissolves the spike protein. Turmeric helps with the inflammation. Black pepper helps the turmeric work better. So it all comes together. Basically, you know, we could call this ultimate spike detox, but it's basically ultimate life force. And right now, 50% off. So you go to thealexjonesstore.com, check out Ultimate Life Force, try it, get one or two, and try it. See, especially if you're going through these constant, oh, I'm getting these kind of low-grade coronavirus sicknesses that you're getting, you know, from leftovers from maybe you took the vaccine, maybe you got a bad case of COVID, but you're trying to get this spike protein out of your body because it just lives there and it just moves around and causes damage to different parts of your body. But it's got 400 milligrams of pharmaceutical grade NAC to skyrocket the glutathione, which is your body's antioxidant. Look at that. I'm now looking at this page and everything I just said is there. 100 micrograms of selenium for help with detoxification, 4,000 units of natokinase, and 80,000 units of serapeptase, which are two powerhouse enzymes that help break down unwanted fibrin and protein buildup. And then 500 milligrams of bromelain, plus you got the black piperine and also the turmeric in here. So you take four capsules of this a day. Also, we have available for 40% off methylene red, atomic defense, methylene blue tincture, methylene blue gummies, MK Ultra, which is the vitamin K and magnesium, and the War Cry smelling salts, big popular hit. We'll do that every now and then after the show. We'll just take a sniff of that War Cry smelling salts, and it makes you go, after that, after it really does pull you out of your funk. 35% off zeolite tincture to do some more detoxification. Creatine powder, something I take every day, sometimes even twice a day. Sea moss capsules, methylene blue caps. That's my favorite version of methylene blue. And then up to 30% off iodine tincture, sea moss gummies, Shilajit caps and gummies, ultimate chill and energy. I think, you know, we started off the plug sheet today with the dual carbon platinum variety gravity fed water system made out of stainless steel, but I think they're almost all gone. There may be a few left. If you jump on now, you could probably pick those up, but gets rid of arsenic, lead, mercury, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides, industrial chemicals, PFAS chemicals, and forever chemicals like PFOA and PFAS chemicals. So it goes through two different stages of gravity filtering, which is the best way, in my opinion, because you're not pressuring things through, you know, for those filters you get for your faucet. This is gravity fed's the way to go because it's just, it works with the power of gravity, those of you who believe in gravity, and helps filter your water out. So you're drinking clean water. It's something you should get, especially if you have a family. You know, you want to give the gift of clean water to your children so they're not drinking chloride and fluoride. And, you know, that's one way to get that stuff out of your body is to not put it in your body in the first place. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out your Ultimate Life Force. It really is an amazing product. It's one that I take. I have also got regular natokinase and regular bromelain separately, but then you get it all in one spot, and it's only four pills. So check out Ultimate Life Force, 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And we go back to our guest, Undergotten. We just showed that Brennan clip from a few years ago at the Council on Foreign Relations. And if you think that there's actually a code in the U.S. code that says the government can do anything they want to you, basically as long as they call it testing. If it's under testing, it's like, oh, we can shoot you with radiation pills. We can give you syphilis and test it on you. Just because we call it testing. We don't call it anything else. We're not running an operation. It's the reason these chemtrails are flying overhead and the reason these radar stations are going, we're just testing things. So we're going to test it for 50 years and see if it works. And by that time, maybe we've killed enough people who are asking questions and we want anybody asking questions because everybody will be looking at their phones. Undergotten, of what I just threw out there, what did I get correct?
It all sounds about right. I got to tell you, since you're doing the plug, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out
there you go.
This stuff right here. I get that every month, man. And that was life-changing for me. I stopped. I had a prescription for Adderall for like 10 years.
Okay.
I decided I didn't want to take that stuff anymore the beginning of last year. And once you get off of that stuff, it's you're just like, your brain is gone. You're in a funk. And this stuff brought me back.
I tell you what. I mean. I was sort of, I was skeptical of the methylene blue because I saw other people taking it. And I did a couple things of the tincture. I did two dropperfuls of the tincture and went and rode my bike, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. So I stayed off of it for a while. And then I just went to the pill, and I did the capsule. And I did a capsule every other day for about a month. And in like 3 days, all my brain fog went away. And I'm like, this is amazing. Yeah. And now and I don't
stays
even
away.
I hardly take. Yeah, it stays away. It doesn't come back because your mitochondria is basically like, thank you. You've released the bondage on me. And now I can perform and keep your brain, you know, clearly thinking. I think so much better now than I did, you know, even like, you know, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely. Just with all the funk around you and all, you know, we're surrounded by TVs here. We're indoors, breathing indoor air.
Yeah,
and
you
know, it does. It basically, when I go out camping, I feel great when I come back. And it's like that. Yeah. It's almost like going camping all the time. You know, being in the woods, breathing clean air, touching the ground. There's all those things that kind of help you become a human again. And I really do. I think methylene blue is one of the best out there. I was amazed by its results. So
same here.
Yeah.
I owe you guys a debt of gratitude for that.
Well, there you go. All right. So it looks like you brought up the Mexico map. What do you want to talk about with Mexico?
Oh, well, I mean, this is that right angle cloud that we were just looking at, you know,
totally normal.
I would love to see somebody reproduce that in a lab setting. Cause if this is just wind doing this, you know, then you should be able to reproduce that with a smoke machine and a couple of box vents. Of course you can't, you know, I've seen people blow, you know, smoke rings with a cigarette. I've never seen anyone blow a smoke square, you know, It just can't be done. So that right there is our smoking gun for microwave manipulation. And that's talking to Grok about it. He seems to think, or it seems to think, that the chemtrails are in part like just an electrolyte for this system, you know? So they're making massive amounts of clouds on the ground, and then they're seeding it with these nanoparticulate metals, and that facilitates the radar further, longer, et cetera.
It gives the radar something to grab onto, I think. It's something to reflect, because it is...
It's like spraying an antenna in the sky.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? Or like, because radars are microwaves, I don't know if you know that, but that in the 1950s, everybody knew that. They even had a brand of microwave called a radar range, because that was just common knowledge. Radars are literally just, it's a microwave antenna on a swivel, and it's just, that's how it interacts with hydrogen, is microwaves heat hydrogen up, and that's how they heat your food up. They heat the water up in your food.
That's how a guy figured it out. He was standing next to the microwave with a candy bar in his pocket, and it melted.
Yeah,
he's like, wait a minute, this is, I mean, everybody's heard that story. That's how, and they're like, oh, we could do this to heat up food. And, you know, basically what you're doing, though, the microwave, basically the way it works is it heats the water inside the food you're eating. So if you're looking at a regular microwave, it's bombarding your food. And so it's actually breaking apart the water molecules, which who knows what that is doing to your food, you know, because people said, people who eat microwave food, they notice a difference when they stop eating microwave food, and suddenly they don't have all those stomach problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think too, if you take that microwave antenna and you point it at the sky, it's going to heat up the hydrogen in the clouds, you know, obviously. So it's as simple as that. So this is really, really old technology. And then when they're spraying stuff, that just allows it to travel further. It makes a weaker signal stronger, you know. But it also, if you look on Dane Wigington's site, he's got patents for a lot of this stuff. There's, you know, different particles they're spraying that allow you to trigger rain or to trigger, you know, different things, you know? So it's not just, there's a lot to the system.
They're not just spraying water vapor out of the back ass of these planes.
No,
and
sir.
And then off the ground, I guess, because I've seen video of these cloud, it looks like it's a cloud making factory. They're just shooting this stuff out, and it's just going up into the atmosphere.
Yeah. So if you look at the time lapse here, look at that.
Yeah.
That's just almost the same location.
And is this at night? Is this at nighttime?
That's at night.
Okay. Yeah, that's unheard of. You see no evaporation from the ground at nighttime.
So you can see it start during the day here, but then night falls and it's a perfect circle. You know? That doesn't make any sense. if it was actually the sun evaporating a lake or a river or something, that would be happening in the shape of the lake or the river. It would be happening over a wide area. It wouldn't have a central point and be going out in 360 degrees like that. It makes no sense. It looks like a tea kettle boiling, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty. I'm looking at this right now, especially when you see it and then you watch it again, because I can see people, like, just looking at a radar, and you've got several layers right here that you're superimposing. And I think that's the difference that most people don't see. They don't see how they don't see the infrared with the precipitation map, with the radar signals also popping out. So when you see them all together, then you can see, you see where the pulses are happening.
Picture.
And then you see stuff moving from the pulses. Now, they've also saying, do you ever superimpose the jet stream on here and see what that's doing to things? Because they say the jet stream is the biggest influencer of our weather in the United States. Because it's either up in Canada or it comes down to the United States and does these weird...
The jet stream is us now. That's
You think we've hijacked the jet stream at this point?
Yeah. I mean, that's what these straight, long cloud walls... Wait, let me use my talking head here.
Yeah.
That's what these long, long lines are doing here. Is that's creating a wall for that natural jet stream pattern and forcing it like the aqueducts move water. It's basically the same thing.
So it's basically hitting the jet stream and pushing the jet stream lower or higher depending on where it's beating it.
Yeah, it's because normally it's just sort of the way some weathermen on X were demonstrating it earlier this year, is it's like kind of a wobble that's just going around the Earth in this constant pattern. So really, it wouldn't be, if you think about it that way, it wouldn't be too much. If you can fire a wall of heat up there, you can maneuver that wobble left or right.
Moving the wobble.
And that's what you can see them doing. And I didn't share it with you, but I've got a video that it got like 4 million views. It was a pretty big hit for me. That's just the every single week during the winter, this KBIS in Bismarck, which has these lines always shooting that way, was just walls of clouds right there along this grid line here. And they were calling it Arctic blasts, but you could literally see the clouds. They'd have a wall of cloud on this side, a wall of cloud over here, and basically created a channel for this Arctic blast to funnel in. And then you could see a wall of cloud down below here. And I might just bring one up, actually.
Yeah, see if you can find that. And here's another question. If people want to get into doing this and watching this, because obviously, you know, you've been doing it a little over a year. This is going to strike some people as being very interesting. Where are you? You're getting all this information and then you're superposing it. What is the process of doing this, and where are you finding all these sites at?
So I'm downloading it directly onto my machine,
mm-hmm.
From two places, one from the National Weather Service and one from University of Iowa, which is the only university in the country that provides this radar data.
And did they mention why they do that, or they just do it?
They've just had that contract with the National Weather Service since it began.
Yeah.
Not sure. There's other universities that you can view the data on, but they're the only one I know of that lets you download it into map software. So this is GIS software that I'm using to download it.
Yeah.
It's geographical information software, and I'm on Linux, so I'm using one called QGIS. There are Windows versions though of all that stuff. if you prefer. Let me see here. This might be the video. Arctic mashup.
Well, you can definitely see how everything's flowing straight down, and you can see the channel right there. There's the one channel and then the other one's right next to it.
And that's right. That's going right to each radar base too. Look at, there's a radar base here where it cuts an angle.
Yeah.
The clouds are from this radar base straight, boom, they hit the next radar base and they cut this little angle here and back down to the next radar, you know.
And you don't think there's any way our weather overlords are just being stupid and they don't realize this is happening? You think this is something they know they're doing and are purposely maneuvering this weather?
I mean, I don't see how it could be otherwise. Look at the size of that.
You know? Yeah.
4,000 mile long wall. And it's, I mean, they talk about it. There's a meteorologist, Bernadelli. He likes to, you can tell he wants to say what's really going on his X account. He always says man-made climate change, but he's clearly using that as a euphemism for this, for
man-made climate change.
Yeah, right.
I guess in some way it is kind of man-made climate change, but it's not from people driving SUVs or using weed eaters, you know. Weed eaters don't put off a radar signal, you know.
Yeah. They don't boil clouds from the ground. They started, I started saying this earlier, I wanted to tell you, they started doing this way more intensely during COVID.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was at the time. I was just like most people sitting in my house, bummed out, staring out the window, you know? But I can remember the day when things changed over here in Massachusetts, because there was like a sound in the air almost. It was like this hum, you know, but not a hum. Like it was not a sound, but it was, you could feel it. You know what I mean? And then this wall of clouds just sort of slowly moved in. It wasn't rain or anything. It was just this. I've never seen it before in my life. And like nothing went back to normal after.
Yeah, they want to build these massive data centers too. I wonder if that has anything to do with this, you know, because they want to build them out in West Texas, out in Salt Lake City, all over the country, like especially these giant ones. And I wonder if that has any, if that'll have anything to do with changing weather patterns as well. These giant, like, you know, basically heat, you know, heat slabs essentially that are just going to be in the middle of these places instead of where there would have been ground that would have absorbed the sunlight. It's going to be these giant things that are creating more heat, you know, than I think they're saying that, like nuclear blasts. It's going to be that, you know, several nuclear blasts per day of heat.
Yeah. They said it completely changes the environment where those things are.
Yeah,
somebody that Alex had on was talking about that.
And you're talking about the hum. That's, you know, the hum is what, you know, people are saying. The hum is what some guy's got a farm next to a data center, and he hasn't had a live cow birth since the farm, since the data center launched.
Right.
Because, you know, and he thinks it has to do with the hum. He's like, there's always a hum out there. And these frequencies can come in, and frequencies can do a lot more than I think. Everything's basically made up of sound, vibration, because sound is vibration. So, you know, us talking is putting out vibrations, but then also, you know, your body is filled with things that are vibrating as well. So there, everything's kind of producing its own resonance, and some resonances are good, and some are can do things like, you know, create a was that a big semicircle right there above over the Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Yeah.
You can see the semicircle.
Dead center.
Yeah, it's
big,
like
big
an oval. It's an oval. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's
dead center, and then of course. There's that wall again, right at KBIS.
Right.
Long,
and if you're
know,
not, if you don't know where these radar stations, 400
miles.
Yeah. And if you don't know where these radar stations are, then you don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, there's a semicircle or an oval of clouds with a channel right next to it. That looks normal, you know, but then you're here's these radar.
We see the fronts, you know,
You'll
see that big wall of cloud in the sky and you're like, oh yeah, that's just a storm front. That's what the weatherman told me. It's actually a microwave front.
Yeah. Well, it's very, very interesting. We actually got less than a minute. I got so into this, I wasn't even looking at the clock.
Oh.
Undergotten, UNDERGOTTEN on X. Give him a follow. He's got some great information, great videos like this. If you're into stuff like this, Undergotten on X. You can follow me at Dews News, DewsNewz on X. I'm always putting out different kinds of things that I find interesting. I thought this was interesting. I knew I was going to get to do an hour today, so I said, let's bring him on and talk about this and kind of share it with people so they're more aware of what's going on in your world. Because if you're not aware of what's going on in your world, you can't be manipulated. And that's what we're trying to stop here. Thank you for watching The War Room Live. I was your host, Rob Dew, and we'll see you tomorrow with Alex Jones Show starting at 11 a.m.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green. Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command. Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase 2 for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.